what are you looking for? These are the very first words that Jesus speaks in the Gospel of John. After being baptized and that whole event, two of John's disciples start following him, and he turns around and says to them, what are you looking for? Now, those words are not just to his disciples. They're meant for us as well, so that we are called to respond to that question, what are you looking for? Now, for most of us, our lives are very busy and full of many, many things, to the point where we don't have time to really address that question. What's at the core of our hearts? What do I really want? And so, because our lives are filled with many things, we're going to do it today. Yay! And by doing it, I'm going to use the words from the letter to the Hebrews, that the gospel is going to teach us how to really understand what's at our hearts, what we really are looking for. And as it says so clearly, the gospel cuts like a two-edged sword, separating good from bad, God's desires from our desires, and helping us to really use it to understand what we ought to desire. For that reason, let's head into the gospel. So today we have a young man who runs up to Jesus, kneels down, and asks him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Good question. I think for many of us that's on our minds as well. How do I get to heaven? What is eternal life like? How do I make it happen? And so in this way, he pictures for us the desire of all people. All people who are Christian have the same basic hope. What do I need to do to get to heaven? So from the onset, he sounds like a good Jewish guy. Jesus responds with kind of a joke. Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. Isn't he God? So he's making a point to this young man that he doesn't get, but that's okay, that he is God and he is the good teacher. So yes, he does know what we ought to do. And so he gives him the Ten Commandments. Actually, he gives him seven of the Ten Commandments. He's missing three. A little odd if you think about it. Why is he missing three? And namely, the ones he's missing are the ones about God himself, which is, there is only one God, honor his name, honor the Sabbath. Those he omits. But the other seven, about social order and how we ought to treat people, he does name. So after naming these seven commandments, the young man responds, I have observed all these from my youth. Good job, man. You've done exactly what you should. You follow the Ten Commandments, you follow the laws, right? Good job. That's what we're expecting. That's not what Jesus responds with. He responds with something very different. He said, you are lacking in one thing. But he never explains to us what the one thing is. We have to ponder it. He says, you are lacking in one thing. Go sell all you have, give it to the poor, then come follow me. He's reminding us of something very important. We easily get caught in the trap that we see the Ten Commandments as the ideal that we seek, that that's the best we can do, and therefore we live our lives modeled off of following the Ten Commandments. Jesus flips it completely around and says, no, that's the basic starting point. Everything builds upon that. That the Ten Commandments teach us one very valuable lesson. It's about God and seeking his ways and doing what he wants, which is why those three were omitted. This young man is not actually seeking God. He's seeking to live a life in which he's secure and knows he's going to inherit eternal life. He's done all these things to be a good person and leave it there. For him, God is not that important. And we'll see it build as we continue into the gospel. Jesus calls that out. You're missing one thing. Follow me. He leaves sad. And we should also feel sad for him. Because as he leaves sad, he's reflecting on his many possessions. Not about the invitation to follow Jesus, not to be closer to God, not about all the things of that way. He's sad about all the stuff he has to give up. He's sad about his many riches. And then Jesus exclaims. It's not a question. It's an exclamation. He's troubled by this young man's response. He's upset by what just happened. And he exclaims, how hard it is for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. How hard. He's reflecting on how difficult that is. And when his disciples still don't get it like normal, he repeats it again. Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. Giving us an example. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. This has been widely misinterpreted as though there's this gate in Jerusalem where you have to strip the camel of all their things to get the camel through. That is not true. There's no evidence that actually existed. And there's no evidence from the gospel that needs to exist. Because the disciples go, that's not possible. And if you don't believe me, you can go give it a shot. Take a needle, take a camel, see if you can get it through the eye. Good luck. It's not going to happen. I'll warn you right now. And there's a reason for that. Again, as I stated once before, he's driving that point home. Things are impossible if we try and do them for ourselves. The first three commandments are essential to recognize that God is central. We are looking to him. We need him in our lives. And so he ends by saying, for men, this is impossible, but all things are possible for God. Which means the question I started with, what are you looking for, is not actually an important question. It's only a bridge, a starting point. The real question I should be asking is, whom are you looking for? And that's the question that develops all the way through the Gospel of John. We start the Gospel with, what are you looking for? And then we end the Gospel with Jesus' first words after he rose from the dead. He's there at the tomb, Mary Magdalene's weeping. He says to her, whom are you looking for? And she doesn't get it. But that's the same question we also must address. Because we can look for many things. We can look for all these pleasures, luxuries, whatever not. But they'll never bring us happiness. They'll never bring us joy. We're looking for a home, a person. A person to walk with us. A person to journey with us. A person to be there with us. The only person that works is Jesus himself. But notice how valuable this is even from a broader perspective. Think about a lot of the social issues we encounter today and how they can be easily solved by simply a person saying, are you okay? Think of people who are suicidal. What's their main thought? Nobody cares about me. I'm better off dead than alive. What can easily flip that around? Someone saying, here, let me walk with you. Let me journey into your darkness. Let me help you. It'll be okay. I'm with you. What about someone who's depressed? What's their main goal? Don't look at me. I have darkness that you can't see. What's the easiest way out of it? Let me show you the darkness. Let me walk with you in your darkness. It'll be okay. We are seeking more and more than ever a desire to be with someone. And thus, the gospel does point that out. We want to be with the one who loves us beyond everything else, God himself. We are not seeking a what, but a whom, a person, a real living person who wants to journey with us every step of the way. And so I encourage you very strongly, reflect on both of these questions. What's at the core of your hearts? Let the gospel strike true and realize that if we're going to follow it well, it's going to cost us. It's going to be painful. We're going to have to give up stuff. We're going to have to let things go. Maybe things we hoped for, desires we had. But that's part of the message of the gospel. And as we reflect deeper and deeper, we'll realize at the core of who we are, we're desiring something more. We're desiring a whom. Then that whom radically changes our lives, guides us to new life, lets us see things anew, and helps us through all the challenges of life that we may come to the final goal, which is our salvation. And that's whom we seek, is God himself, who guides us through this life, walks with us in our darkness, and brings us to eternal life.